The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our studies this evening in Genesis 47. Didn't quite get all of them out of the way. Verses 1 through 6. I'm always studying, know that, even when I come to class. I'm still studying away. All right, before we begin our study, we'll give you the opportunity to engage in action with honor in this academic setting once again this evening. That is by ensuring that you are filled with God the Holy Spirit. When you engage in personal sin in the life, you neutralize the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. You're in a state of carnality. How you regain the filling ministry is the application of 1 John 1:9. We call that the rebound technique. Sin in the Greek means harmartia, simply means to miss the mark. What you miss is the mark of God's righteousness in regards to the truth of His directed will for your life when you engage in sin. And when you do so, obviously, God gives you through grace an opportunity, His rebound, to have another shot at life, to do it right. And obviously, this one application is designed to be consistent and persistent in regards to the believer priest in time. It is how we are able to redeem the time in regards to our Christian life, that which is rewardable before God in our eternal state. And it's also how we are able to be filled with God the Holy Spirit and be predisposed in that condition of spirituality to engage and understand the spiritual message and teaching in regards to the Bible in and of itself, which laces through all of His works, and that even in regards to the historical significance that is attached to it in many cases, as we have seen. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your grace, for revealing to the world your word, and to keep hidden those who reject it, but enlighten those who are willing to plug in, obey you, fulfill your imperatives for their lives, this in terms of being filled with God the Holy Spirit, and to truly study to show themselves workmen, not to be ashamed, to be seekers of you, as we would so claim. We ask once again this evening, you bless us as we continue in the Christian path of life in this vein. All via God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, moving on here in the text of Genesis 47, as we close out Genesis 46, that chapter. We saw that after the reunion of Joseph with his father, Joseph then has a powwow with his brothers, with the household. It's in anticipation of Joseph reporting back to Pharaoh in regards to circumstances, situations in life. In so doing, he gives his brothers counsel, and as he leads by example, suggest strongly that tact is used in regards to following the protocols and policies in regards to meeting the most powerful person in the world in this vein. Even though Joseph obviously is the second most powerful person, he has complete respect and obedience in regards to Pharaoh in and of himself. He wants to make sure everything goes off accordingly as Pharaoh would want in this vein. And he tells them what to expect in terms of the agenda set before them, that while they are there physically and they have landed in Goshen, that the matter is not quite completely settled until this meeting and audience, prearranged audience that will be made on their behalf before Pharaoh is completed. And this is where chapter 47 then picks up, is with them leaving, obviously, Goshen. And Joseph and at least some of his family, his brothers, his father, travel with him and go back to where Pharaoh's palace place of jurisdiction is located here in this vein, and he follows through with what he told his brothers would happen. So looking here at the exegesis of verses 1 through 6, we'll do that as a block, titled simply, Joseph Reports to Pharaoh. Verse 1, then Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, and said, my father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. While consecutive, followed with the Calvin Perfect Third National Singer verb bo, B-O, and he went to, that being Joseph, proper noun, and told is our hifil verb, imperfect third masculine singer, nagad, N-A-G-A-D, cause to make known. Hifil is causative, hence report in the chain of command here, as it would be contextually appropriate to translate it in that regards. And told Pharaoh, reported to Pharaoh, preposition lama, proper noun, Pharaoh. And he said, obviously, this phrase articulates the words of the report, while consecutive, the Calvin Perfect Third Masculine Singular verb amar, to say, A-M-A-R. My father is the common masculine singular noun construct of, noun for father, A-B, here with the first common singular suffix, my father, and, while conjunction, then my brothers, the noun ach, A-C-H, again, common masculine plural here, construct with the first common singular suffix, and their flocks and their herds. While conjunction, then the next in the list is their flocks, their sheep, common feminine singular construct noun, third masculine plural suffix, tson, T-S-O-N, emphasis on their ranching as sheep, as shepherds, their flocks, and then, while conjunction, their herds. That would emphasize more the cattle end of the industry. Common masculine singular construct noun, third masculine plural suffix, bakar, B-A-Q-A-R. And all that they have, while conjunction, that are now for all, is a common masculine singular construct, kol, K-O-L, all of, in a construct. A relative pronoun, a share, A-S-H-E-R, that, which, how you may translate it, is for then, literally, preposition lamed with the third masculine plural suffix. Then you have the cal perfect third masculine plural verb bo. They have come from the land of Canaan. From is your preposition men, M-I-N. Land is your common feminine singular construct eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Land of, proper noun, Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. While conjunction, then you have the interjectory particle, henna, if the third masculine plural suffix, H-I-N-N-E-H, and behold them, literally. Look to them, if you will. In the land of Goshen, preposition bet, again our noun for land, eretz, E-R-E-T-S, common feminine singular struct, proper noun, Goshen. So he's definitely bringing it to his attention where they have settled. So verse 2, and he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. You have the while conjunction, preposition men, from. Then you had the common masculine singular construct noun, kaseh, Q-A-T-S-E-H. Literally this word means end, with extremities. Hence, here in the ranks of his brother, from youngest to oldest, is the idea. He took five people. So the ranks of, or among, is how the New American Standard translates it. His brothers, ach, common masculine plural construct, third masculine singular suffix, A-C-H. He took, then the verb took follows in the Hebrew, cal perfect third masculine singular, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. And five is your cardinal adjective, masculine singular, absolute, kamishashah, C-H-A-M-I-S-H-S-H-A-H, five. Men, your noun, common masculine plural, absolute, ish. ISH. And presented them to Pharaoh. You had the wow consecutive. Then you had the hifil, again, causative. Imperfect third masculine singular of the verb, third masculine plural suffix, yasag, YATSAG, cause to present them, to introduce them, if you will, as before an audience to Pharaoh. Then to Pharaoh is your preposition lamed with the normal construction that we see in regards to a face-to-face encounter here in terms of being in audience before someone is a common both plural construct noun, panea, before his face is literally the presence, before his presence, proper noun, Pharaoh. Verse 3, then Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? Obviously, they've already been getting a heads up to expect this question, as we saw. Wow, consecutive. Said, again, is our verb amar, A-M-A-R, cal imperfect third masculine singular. Pharaoh, proper noun. To his brothers, preposition el, in a face-to-face manner, el. Brothers, ach, A-C-H, common masculine plural construct, third masculine singular suffix. Then you had the interrogative particle ma, M-A-H, what, question mark. Work or occupation is your common masculine plural construct noun with the second masculine plural suffix ma-aseh, M-A-A-S-E-H, your profession, occupation, asah, to do, which you get the word work, deed, ma-asah, ma-aseh, hence one's occupation. So they said to Pharaoh, wow, consecutive, followed again our verb amar, A-M-A-R, count, perfect third masculine plural. They said to Pharaoh, preposition L, E-L, proper noun, your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers. First you had their occupation presented. Cal, participle, masculine, singular, verb, construct, ra'ah, R-A-A-H, shepherds here, rendered in two words in the Hebrew, herders or tenders of, sheep, tason, common, both singular, absolute, T-S-O-N, hence shepherds. Shepherds are your servants. Tenders of sheep are your servants, literally in the Hebrew. Common masculine plural construct, the second masculine singular suffix, aved, are noun for servants, slaves, of whatever context it may apply to. Here as subordinate servants, civilians to Pharaoh, citizens. Then both we and our fathers. Here again we had this use of gom, used in sequence, translated both and then and. So gom, both, generally translated also otherwise, G-A-M. We ourselves, emphatic, first common plural pronoun, Anekanu, Anakanu, A-N-E-C-H-E-N-U, and Gom, repeated, G-A-M, fathers, Ab, A-V, common masculine plural construct, first common plural suffix, hence their ancestors, their forefathers. Verse 4, they continue, then speaking to Pharaoh, and they said to Pharaoh, while consecutive, followed with Amar, or same construct as before, cal imperfect third masculine plural, A-M-A-R, to Pharaoh, preposition L, proper noun Pharaoh, E-L. We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for this famine is severe in the land of Canaan. You have the preposition lamed followed with the cal infinitive construct, to note purpose here, our verb gur, G-U-R, for the purpose of sojourning, temporarily traveling through an itinerary, if you will, G-U-R, in the land, preposition bet, followed with the definite article, common feminine singular absolute, erets, land, E-R-E-T-S. then our verb to come, cow, perfect, first common plural, bow, we have come, B-O, they have arrived, a completed action here. Then they give the reason why of their immigration here. You have the conjunction key, K-I-Y, because. Then you have the adverb ion, A-N-A-Y-I-N, followed with the noun, common masculine, absolute, mare, pasture or grazing land. Translated, there is not a pasture or grazing land, M-I-R-E-E-H, mare, for the flocks, not sufficient fodder, if you will. Preposition, lamed, definite article, then our noun for flocks, tson, T-S-O-N, common, both singular, absolute. The flocks belonging to them. You have the relative pronoun, a share, A-S-H-E-R, which are for your servants, literally, preposition, lamed. Common masculine plural construct, second masculine singular suffix, aved, again, E-V-E-D. And the second cause behind this gives the cause behind the cause of not having any pasture land, for there's the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Conjunction key, repeated, K-I-Y. Then you have the adjective, masculine singular absolute, a word for severe, kaved, K-A-V-E-D. Literally is the famine. Definite article, common masculine singular noun, absolute, rav, A-R-A-B. In the land of Canaan, preposition bet, land, Eretz, E-R-T-S, common feminine singular construct, proper noun, Canaan. Then they have the formal, they make the formal request here to Pharaoh. Now therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen. You have the wow conjunction followed with the adverb atah, A-T-T-A-H, and now. Then you have the verb cal and perfect verb masculine plural here with the adjusted force denoting a request. May we settle or reside, occupy. Yashav, live, may be translated Y-A-S-H-A-B. Then you have the particle na, N-A, please, Old English, we pray for request, a polite request. Your servants, again, are noun, Aved, E-B-E-D, common masculine plural construct, second masculine singular suffix, in the land of Goshen, where Joseph has informed Pharaoh they have landed. Preposition bet, Eretz, common feminine singer, E-R-E-T-S, proper noun, Goshen. So verse 5, now how does Pharaoh respond to the request? He does not respond directly to the brothers. He turns to Joseph. Definitely the chain of command knows how to operate in certain societies. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you. Well, consecutive, cal, perfect, third masculine singer, Amar, said, A-M-A-R, Pharaoh, to Joseph, preposition L, proper noun, Joseph, E-L, while saying, translated, lamed, preposition lamed, the cal infinitive, construct Amar, your father and your brothers, they have come to you. Father again is Ab, here with the common masculine singular suffix, the second masculine singular suffix, your father, wow conjunction, your brothers, again the second person suffix to the common masculine plural noun, construct Ak, A-C-H, then the verb to come, cal perfect third, common plural, bo, B-O, come to you, to his person, preposition L, E-L, second masculine singular suffix. Verse 6, This is his rendering, the answer to the situation. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. The land of Egypt, common feminine singular, struck Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, Egypt, proper noun. At your disposal is the preposition lamed, followed with our noun faces again, paneh, common both plural construct, second maximum singular suffix. Here you might translate it as for your purview, for your range of use, is the idea here. Hence, at your disposal. Then he goes on, settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. You have the pronoun he. Oh, I forgot, in the best of the land. Okay. Is for your purview. Itself among the best of the land. You sure don't want to skip any of this Hebrew, do you? Pronoun third feminine singular he. Itself. Antecedent matching gender here, feminine with Eretz, land. That's how that works in the paradigm. Preposition bet, among. The best of is your common masculine singular struct, mathab, M-A-Y-T-H-A-B. The land, definite article, Eretz, common feminine singular, absolute. Then the order to settle your father and your brothers follows. You have the hifil, imperative, masculine singular, yashav, cause to settle, dwell, reside, Y-S-H-A-B. Sign of direct object to note whom he is speaking of. First, your father, av, A-V. Common maximum singular construct, second maximum singular suffix, vowel conjunction, sign of direct object. Second party is your brothers, ach, A-C-H, common maximum plural construct, second maximum singular suffix. And then you have yashav repeated here as calum perfect, third maximum plural, just force yashav, letting them, you might translate it, settle or dwell, Y-S-H-A-B. In the land of Goshen, preposition bet, Eretz, land of, E-R-T-S, and the construct, common feminine singular noun, Goshen, proper noun. Then he concludes, if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock. He had the conjunction in, denoting potential, if, I am, you know, discern, is a cal perfect second maximum singular verb here, yada, Y-A-D-A, followed with a wow conjunction and the adverb yesh, Y-E-S-H in Hebrew, if you know, and existing, literally in the Hebrew, among them, is the Hebrew awkward in English, but that's the Hebrew, a preposition bet, among them, men that are capable would be how you would look at this. You have the common masculine plural construct noun, ish, men of. Then followed with a common masculine singular noun, absolute noun, kail, C-H-A-Y-I-L. Literally that means firm, power, or strength. Hence, fully capable would be the idea here. Not just some wannabes, but somebody that Joseph obviously would find dependable and capable to handle a prestigious position that is being offered. Then you have the wow, then put them in charge of my livestock as wow consecutive, followed with a cow, perfect, second maximum singular verb, third maximum plural suffix, shim, S-H-I-Y-N, then establish, put them in charge of, is a common masculine plural construct, sar, S-A-R, literally means to rule or govern, hence have authority over. Livestock, again, is our noun, makinah, M-I-Q-E-N-E-H, Common Master Singer Absolute. That is mine. My, just simply translated my in the English, is the preposition all, A-L, followed with the relative pronoun share, over which is for me. That's the Hebrew preposition with the first common singer suffix lamed. All right. Rereading verses 1 through 6. Then Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, and said, My father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds, and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. Verse 2, And he took 5 men from among his brothers, after his first audience with Pharaoh, and presented them to Pharaoh. Caused to present them. Introduced. Verse 3, Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, What is your occupation? So they said to Pharaoh, Your servants are tenders of sheep, shepherds, both we and our fathers, we ourselves and our fathers. Verse 4, And they said to Pharaoh, We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please, let your servants live in the land of Goshen. Verse 5, Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, Your father and your brothers have come to you. Verse 6, The land of Egypt is at your disposal for your purview, use. That is the idea here. Cause to settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land, letting them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock. Now says verses 1 through 6. One, having counseled his brothers as to the coming agenda and royal propriety, the decorum, the way things are to be done, in chapter 46, verses 31 through 34. Quote, Then Joseph went in and reported to Pharaoh, Wow, Bo, Joseph, Wow, Nagad, Lamed, Pharaoh. So, two, Joseph's actions can be considered in part here a matter of formality. Since Pharaoh had previously given the green light for his family's relocation already, Genesis 46, verses 16 through 20. As we saw back there, Pharaoh heard of the news of his brothers, and he gave Joseph's family open invitation by Pharaoh himself to pack up your stuff and come live in this land, and I'll treat you with the highest regard to give you the best of the land that it has to offer. So, obviously, permission, per se, has already been extended. So, we would view this second audience that Joseph gets to meet with his boss a matter of formality. In spite of the permission that he could otherwise assume as being given to him, he wants to clear the air and make sure everything is copacetic in Pharaoh's eyes on how he's handling this deal, etc. So Joseph's actions can be considered in part a matter of formality since Pharaoh had previously given the green light for his family's relocation. Point three. On the other part, it continues to reveal again the high standard of character and discernment this believer possessed. Truly, he would be in the exceptional category of a high level of not only orientation but application when it comes to recognizing the doctrine of authority as it applies to his person and as it is to be extended and applied otherwise in life, as we dealt with a lot of that. So that's four. He was one truly oriented to the doctrine of authority. Again, authority is a big doctrine. It is a doctrine that greatly has been attacked and essentially destroyed in many circles and businesses and professions in life in our society over the past few decades. Attack on authority is consistent in regards to those who are lining up to the Antichrist agenda to create, if you will, a situation and condition and setting of availability to provide confusion, chaos, and promote a rebellious spirit otherwise among people in societies. One of the first earlier attacks, while people may not often recognize it in regards to the authority of the parents, is when our country made it a law that a child had to go to school, a public school or a private school. In other words, it was an attempt to force congregate children of parents to be a part of the system that government wanted to construct in this vein. And now look where we're at. Parents with their children in the school have surrendered many rights. The school has authority. They can lock a parent out if they think, in their mind, that this is appropriate. So, yet, in spite of the abuse of authority, as it has obviously been abused throughout history, we are just seeing it in the greatest and probably the Cinemax presentation in this world since the flood, when the fallen demons disobeyed God's authority and left their domain to have sexual relationships with the human race. Since that time, and this because the world is being prepared to meet the marquee of rebellion of authority, and that is in the person of the Antichrist in and of himself. Authority, rebellion of authority from God himself. We, in our witness, are to align ourselves with authority, recognizing that we're to be obedient to civil authority apart from the fact that there is no one that has authority truly that can tell you that you have to sin in life. That is a time now then that you can appeal to a higher authority, that is God, i.e. Bible doctrine, in situations like that. But in general, even when the laws tend to be legalistic and off the wall, so to speak, in regard to certain things, because they're saving lives, you know how that is. God doesn't have any control over that. But anyway, authority is big in God's book. He is the ultimate authority. He's the Father is the ultimate authority of the Godhead. Even the Son submitted to the Father's authority in the hypostatic union in the first advent. So here we have this believer Joseph that provides for us a premier example of being oriented to authority. Five, first he recognized the importance of keeping Pharaoh informed. So six, thus he immediately reports the family's safe arrival. My father, my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan. Ab, Wa'ach, Wa'tason, Wa'bakar, Wa'kol, Asher, Lamed, Bo, Men, Eres, Canaan. Obviously, they were originally in Goshen. They had now traveled to where Pharaoh is located. So seven, his action and words meet the expectations of what he told his family earlier in Genesis 46:31, accepting here that he reverses the order of presentation to father and brothers. He told them straight up, all right, here's the agenda. I'm going to report to Pharaoh that of your arrival. And there he says, I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and will say to him, and there the order of presentation, my brothers and my father's household who are in the land of Canaan have come to me. So he fulfills that. What he does here when he addresses Pharaoh, he changes, reverses the word order from brothers and fathers to father and brothers. It was common courtesy to refer his father first as the head of the house. How many people even think that deep to prepare themselves and to truly line themselves up with what is proper protocol and common courtesy in regards to these things? So he addresses him in the order of their authority in and of themselves. And this would be proper to first refer to his father, giving him the highest respect. Again, these societies placed a lot of emphasis on that. People of power in dinners, they had the highest elevation and setting around the tables. People would be organized according to their authority structure, then in sequence from that, etc. Nine, he then informs Pharaoh of their present location. Quote, they are in the land of Goshen, the Hebrew Hena. Behold, in the land of Goshen, Bet Eretz Goshen. So he wants to make sure that Pharaoh is not out of the loop, cut out of the loop in regards to all that's going on. Ten, not expressed in English is the Hebrew interjectory particle Hena, meaning behold or see. 11, the Hebrew is expressive for Joseph's desire for Pharaoh to critique his choice of location. It's like, is this okay? Behold, exclamatory. I'm high enough, this is where I put him at. And it's being expressive that he looks for Pharaoh's approval in regards to decisions that he makes in regards to these things. He's not just a loose cannon of authority running around making up all decisions on his own and again leaving his boss out of the loop in regards to these things. Not only in terms of the formality of meetings that he has with him, but also in his own mental attitude of desiring to do what is right before his boss. These are really some great examples that were given here for those who have to be in a system that otherwise operates under authority, such as on the job, at school, things of this nature, husband and wife, things of this nature. You can take it and apply it in the appropriate category which it would fit. So 11 or 12. Now, while Pharaoh extended the offer to, quote, the best of the land, as he did way back when, end quote, a permanent decision as to exactly where was yet to be determined. That was not made known in the recording of his invitation to Joseph. So, by implication at least, Joseph is the one who has determined, well, I think Goshen is going to be the best place for them to settle down. So 13, while making an executive decision of where to place his family, here he still sought final approval. And that is a good person to have working for you. They can come to grips in making good decisions in regards to whatever your business might be or the situation at hand. But they don't just drop it there and assume that everything is exactly as their authority would want it to be in that situation, especially if something important. So obviously, the range of how this might work is dependent upon the relationships of the people in view. Here we're looking at a chain of command, a civil chain of command. So he's just not going to assume this is going to be all right for Pharaoh. He said, I could anyway. I've heard remarks in that regards to, because my wife might say, well, I got to check with my husband first in regards to someone asking him something. Well, what? You got to ask your husband? You can either be adjusted and align and show the true witness, or you can go off and be an island to yourself in these areas. This is not, should be, really, but because of the lack of true instruction in regards to our society and support in regards to the system of authority, it should be a simple thing to understand. As kids are brought up right by parents that teach them authority, etc. But as it is, you're hard-pressed to find people that truly appreciate and understand authority, especially according to doctrinal terms. Ask any woman liver. They'll validate what I'm just saying. If you can figure out whether they're a woman or not, who knows. 14, he recognized the importance of communication and rank and file, and did what was necessary to ensure a respectful and harmonious relationship with his boss. He wanted the best for his boss, and why wouldn't he? Look what the boss has done for him. Took him and removed him from being in prison, and immediately exalts him to the office of vizier of Egypt. So this obviously reflects that Joseph truly had an appreciation for the grace that Pharaoh has extended to him. And he is reciprocating in all that he can do to return, if you will, that grace to ensure that there is no conflict or question in regards to their relationship, which obviously then directly affects the integrity of them working together. The trust and things of this nature, see. All these things are wrapped into these concepts in relationships. Fifteen, you can see the effort here by Joseph to pay attention to the expectations of his authorities as a quality that surely enhances promotions in life. It wasn't just brown nosing. This all started all the way back with Potiphar. Potiphar saw these qualities. Obviously linked to it was his capabilities that God blessed immensely for him in these things. But otherwise, Potiphar, then the head jailer when he was in that situation. And God's blessing him all along the way because he is staying oriented and acclimated to doctrine in spite of the undeserved suffering they had to endure for that time being, for the 13 years he had to live in that condition before he was finally delivered and God blessed him immensely otherwise. Yeah, this is a person you definitely want working for you. It's someone you can trust. It's someone you know that's not going to leave you out there hanging. You know, and being in business before. I understand these things and these qualities clearly. And how important they are to people that have, if you will, principle in terms of business and things of this nature. You got a boss that doesn't give a you know what. Well, that's one thing. But if you do, then you too have seen probably these qualities remiss or in place, making a difference in the relationships, employees, and employers. 16, in addition, Joseph exercised here discernment by placing the final decision in Pharaoh's hands. People sometimes, you know, the SCA is naturally rebellious. I mean, that's what your flesh is. It loves to rebel. And obviously, we live in a society that tends to promote that, more or less. And people that are subordinates to authorities want to be the one with the power. But when they do, and they make decisions on their own, then the consequence or result of the decision truly falls back on their head. A wise subordinate is going to look to their authority, approval, for their authority's approval, so that it doesn't backfire on them and come back on their heads after the fact. It eliminates this for Joseph. It will eliminate all kinds of potential problems that he might face by relocating his entire family, these nomadic herdsmen, shepherds, into a land that is ideologically prejudiced regards to them, etc., etc. To have Pharaoh's backing in a legal and public way, and to make sure that all his T's are crossed and I's are dotted as Pharaoh so determines. So that's point 17. This, as it provides the buffer of authority needed for any Egyptian discontent that might rear its head at the presence of these foreign nomadic herdsmen immigrating onto prime real estate. Something almost sometimes as bad as an abusive authority is a person who has authority and won't do nothing. Well, like, we need to look up and look around for that today. To authority that will not take charge as necessary. In the household, for a father that will not exercise their authority in regard to children, etc. That puts a lot of additional pressure on the wife. And it's pathetic in regards to their role in witness of Bible doctrine in regards to their family. I know that's not what society wants to hear, and what society will tell you with all their human viewpoint, goody-two-shoes mentality. So idea that the children are the parents want to be their children's friend. What a bunch of idiots. I can tell you about friends and what they will do to you sometimes. Now you're a parent, be a parent. Your father, take the bull by the horns as necessary. And a boss of a company, etc., looks for people with those types of qualities. They're willing to do so, but then, again, as we are seeing, to make sure that it all falls within the proper procedures and guidelines and desires of the boss himself. So he exercises discernment here by passing off, if you will, at least gaining the support. The head of Egypt, the Pharaoh himself, and the final decision. And this then gives a buffer for any who may want to take issue in regards to the decision. Well, you need to go talk to Pharaoh. He approved it. See, people working for me use that for people quite often. Go talk to Ken. He's the one that said to do it, and I never hear from him. The only way I know is because the person said, I told him, go talk to you. Well, how come they haven't come talk to me? But anyway, I'm glad I'm out of that life. Whatever the ministry provides otherwise, working in the cosmos is no fun. Especially today, I can just imagine. 18, in other words, he, Joseph, wanted the legality of their occupation to be a public record. and doesn't get any more public than Pharaoh getting up and saying, done. This is what it is. This is the way it will be. So, obviously, we recognize these things in our own societies, getting the proper paperwork, having the right people approve things, etc., and to make it legal in this regards. Joseph's next step was then to introduce a portion of his siblings. Quote, and he took five men from among his brothers, men katsah ak bakak ka mishasha ish. Verse 2. So 20 here, Joseph clearly understood the intricacies of politics and avoided a scenario that would both potentially complicate and eclipse the business at hand. You can imagine bringing in 11 of his brothers before Pharaoh. The more people he got, often the more complicated, confusing things become. It's like businesses that have these huge boards, you know, like 30 people on a board. Who needs that many people on a board? No wonder people can't get things done, you know. So here he shows great discernment and insight on regards to how the system works, to learn the system, to find out what is expected and what is the best way to go about things. So he clearly understands the intricacies of politics, and he avoids here a scenario that would both potentially complicate and eclipse the business at hand. All the movement around, etc., of 11 of his brothers at hand were trying to bring in his whole family at once. So 21, now the meeting here is not designed to ingratiate his family to Pharaoh or impose an affected introduction for Pharaoh to embrace. He recognizes what the purpose of the meeting is. It's to get an approval from Pharaoh that Goshen is the place that they can live, even with their occupations that they have. This choice that he made, this decision, executive decision that he made, he wants to make sure Pharaoh's on board for all this. So, you know, you got a meeting. You know, who likes to go to meetings? Most of us don't. But anyway, you got one. Well, stick to the agenda. Take care of the agenda. And you then avoid these long, drawn-out things that some of us probably have had to endure in our own business world at times that really often didn't accomplish that much. And he's not here to brag on his family. Oh, look at all my family here, Pharaoh. He's here to take care of business. Business is business. And he's not looking for Pharaoh to hand out accolades, you know. Oh, well, you're Joseph's family, you're a friend of Joseph, you're a friend of mine, you know, that type of deal. That's what you get in the circle of business often, you know, rubbing elbows and dropping names. Obviously, Joseph is completely avoiding this. So 22, Joseph recognized the value of Pharaoh's time. And if he wants to meet the rest of the family, he would make that clear. He recognizes that Pharaoh is to be respected in the time that he wants to honor. You sought an audience before Pharaoh at his whim, not at the whim of the person who wants to meet him. See, that's the way authority is supposed to work. And he recognized Pharaoh's the value of his time and not to be overbearing to him and to waste his time in regards to certain things. And here it's a clear example of Joseph, in parentheses, did not abuse his priorities. He had authority, but he didn't step outside the bounds of priority. That is his critique in regards to these things. He put the limit on it where it belonged. We saw the example of overstepping priorities with Jesus' mother at the wedding feast in Cana, where she tried to push Jesus to expose himself, to reveal that he's the king of Israel. And he had to call his mother down. You know, back off. Respectfully. Go get in your hat shell. Be quiet. I've got things to do here. Sorry, will you still see him around in the yard? You can't help yourself. So, again, these are just examples. People that are fine-tuned in regards to applying doctrine at the highest levels of application. So 23, now the audience before Pharaoh was obviously prearranged before Joseph left to meet his family. And the verb took is best translated as a pluperfect in the Greek. And he had took five men. So, as we pointed out, 24, the Hebrew noun katseh, it's translated simply among, means, quote, end or extremities, end quote. 25, in other words, from the range of older to the youngest, five accompanied Joseph to the place, palace, in light of where the others may have been. Now, whether all of his brothers traveled with him to the location, we can't say. But from among them, from their ranks, rank and file, he picked out five. And obviously we're not told who they are. There's Jewish tradition of who they might have been. But again, it's all speculation. All right, well, we'll pick this up Thursday evening. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.